We've been in the study of James since the beginning of January, and we're just excited about what God is saying in this passage. So this morning, I challenge you to open your mind and ask God to speak to you. And one of the things that we've been working on, and I've been working on in my own self, is expecting God to do things that we couldn't even ask or imagine. And so I'm going to ask you to join me in that over the next couple of weeks as we're moving forward, that we walk into church with an expected attitude, that we know God is going to meet us here and that he's going to do great things. And we're excited about the great things that he is doing. If you didn't come out on Wednesday night, we kicked off our winter life groups. And for the next 7 weeks, we have those groups going. And we have room in three. Our financial peace one is full. But if you would like to be in a wide angle, it's talking about the worldview on all the things happening in the world. Or starting point, it's talking about where you are right now and how to move forward in your faith. And the last one is freedom. And that speaks for itself. It's not about being set free from all the things that hold us back and the things that keep us from being everything that God wants us to be. We'd love to have you in one of those groups. You can just show up on Wednesday night at 6:30 and we'll get you pointed to the right place. We have dinner on Wednesday nights. We don't do this just because Ivan loves to eat. Ivan does love to eat. But we try to make this a moment that is easy for you. That many of you are coming straight from work. And so you can come in and grab food and then go right on into our group. So don't forget that at 5:45 we start serving on Wednesday nights. And we'd love to have you here for that as well. And I mentioned just a moment ago that we do have lunch afterwards. I know you're thinking, oh, Ivan, I didn't bring anything. And don't worry about that. There's going to be plenty. We'd love for you to stay in if you didn't plan on staying. And have some fellowship with us right after our service today. So go with me to James chapter 4. This is probably one of the most quoted books in the Bible. And I think it's often quoted wrong. Because we have a habit of taking scripture and making them what we want it to be. Because it feels good. And we don't take the whole passage in context and read it. And then sometimes we just throw it out there because it's a quick way to get people to think about where they are and what they're going through and what's going on in their lives. But this morning, I want us to just think about these things in a little bit different context as we're working down through the scripture this morning. So James chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read it off the screen because my iPad just went crazy on me. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to dwell in us? But if he gives us more grace, that is why the Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them, speaks against the law, and judges it. And when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. And verse 12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So this morning, this passage is talking about conflict. Everybody say conflict. Who loves a good conflict? Look around. Any takers? No. We shouldn't love conflict. I would ask who often finds themselves in conflict, but I don't want to give that away, okay? We want to ask that this morning. But man, conflict is just a part of this life that we live. Think of a conflict that you may have recently been involved in. I don't know about you, I'm not afraid of conflict, but I try to avoid it at all costs. At all costs. And I will tell you, this week on my job, I had people curse at me. I've had people scream at me. Actually, one day this week, my daughter Taylor, the 9-year-old, came to check on me because she could hear the gentleman screaming in my office. And, you know, I'm a pretty big guy. You know what I mean? If you haven't noticed that yet. And there's just very small people who are very angry sometimes. And sometimes I just want to stand up and go, you do see me sitting here, right? But I don't, because I'm trying to avoid conflict, right? I'm not trying to make it worse than it already is. But sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, and most of us hate conflict. Most of us despise it, and hopefully you should. But then sometimes we continue to find ourselves in conflict, and we don't understand that the reason we're in conflict is because of some of the things that we're doing. And I don't know, don't raise your hand, or you may work with someone like this. Nothing is ever their fault. Ever. Ever. They rear in someone, and that person wasn't driving fast enough. Or they slammed on brakes in front of them, or whatever. It's always someone else's fault. And they don't understand that the things that are going on inside of them are causing conflict. See, we're in conflict this morning. James, he doesn't mince his words here. James is not playing around when he wrote this passage. He says, we're in conflict because of our impure desires and motives. He says we're in conflict because we love the wrong things. Everybody say love. I guess say it like that, love. Thank you. Man, there's things we love. Man, I love a good dessert. As much as I love the breath that I breathe, I love it. I love recreation. I love to be on the water. I love to be in the woods. There's things that I love. But sometimes we find ourselves in conflict because we're loving the wrong things. And I will tell you, I'll share this story. When my wife and I got married, I mean, I hunted every holiday, right? And then when we had children, I got up, went on Christmas, things were coming, and I was planning on going hunting. And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, going hunting. She's like, you have children. Right? Where are my men at? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm like, and Christmas is all day long, right? They'll be asleep. I'll be back for their, you know, and we have to change some of the things that we love if we want to stay out of conflict. Someone said trouble. That's the same thing, right? Trouble. Right? And so we have to change some things we're doing. But the problem is we love the wrong things, which causes us to seek after the wrong things. And when we do that, we're creating conflict within us. The good news this morning is this, is that our conflict has an answer if we'll just trust God. That if we can identify the areas of conflict within us and pursue the things that God has planned for us, we can let go of conflict. Now, I do a lot of counseling. I'm a trained counselor, a master's level trained counselor. But I do a lot of pastoral counseling as well. And when people come in, they start telling me all the things that are wrong. Every time. And I know we got some counselors in the church. And this is what happens. They start saying, well, this person did this to me. Or this person did that to me. Or I did this. And I can't believe how they reacted to this. And here's what happens in counseling so often. It takes us a lot of time to move past the presenting problem of what comes in and they present to us to find out what the real problem, the underlying problem, really is. But so often it's, well, my husband does this, and I just can't believe he does this, and this has just ruined our marriage. Or my wife does this, and it's just causing things to fall apart. And we're always putting things on external factors rather than looking inside of us to see if we are where we need to be with the Lord. And see, James says this morning. He takes a different route. And he says this, your heart is the problem. He says your heart is the issue. Your heart is tied to things that is causing you problems. And you need to let your heart be changed. We constantly blame it on other things, other sources of conflicts. But let me tell you the real source of conflict this morning. Your heart has a problem because of the fall of man. And it all goes back to Adam and Eve. Listen, this world that we're living in, it's in this situation because of sin. Everybody say sin. I know that is not politically correct to use that word, okay? I understand. But biblically speaking, the world is in the situation that it is in because of sin, because we are sinful people. Now, I will submit to you this morning that I'm a sinner walking in grace. That I can do nothing on my own, that it's only the grace of God that causes me to be able to stand here this morning. But this world is in chaos because of sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they put the world into a downward spin of disobedience, sin, adultery, anger, strife, conflict. It's the beginning. And we today are living at the end. We are at the end of the cycle. The Lord is coming back. We are at the end of the cycle. But it's the conflict that was created because of the fall. And it touches every human being, every heart, every mind, every institution, every relationship, every child, every man. It touches every part of the human institution. It's the fall of man. And James says this, that it's the source of our conflict. And we have to realize that we're not warring against one another. And that the wars that we have with one another, the conflicts that we have with one another, can be solved if we'll get our hearts right. If we get our hearts right and stop seeking the things that God has not called us to seek. So let's start with this morning, conflict with other people. This is what James 4:1 says. It says, the source of our conflict are the cravings that are at war within you. See, the source of our relational conflict is failure to please God. Now, I'm going to take this a little deeper this morning. So, take some notes, because you're going to need to look over this morning when you get home or sometime during the week, okay? Or you can put it online. It'll be online. You can go back and listen to it. The source of our conflict is our relationships. The issues that we're having in those is a direct reflection of our heart issue, which is a failure to please God. You say, well, hang on, Ivan, now if I'm walking in grace, how do I please God? Listen, it's because we're walking in grace. Yes, we are. But we're walking in grace to the wrong places, doing the wrong things. Too many of us do this. We come in, we confess our sins, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, all this, and we walk out of here and we go right back to the same things we did that got us into the situation in the first place. And God is calling us that when our hearts are changed, our lives should change. That the things that we used to do, we shouldn't love anymore. And if we still love them, we should say, God, help me to give them to you. Excuse me. God, they don't please you. Help me to give them to you. That is what this cross is all about. And why we've been praying over these things since the beginning of the year. God, there's things in our lives that we need to let go of. Help us, God, because I love you enough. I want to be more like you. I don't want to walk in conflict. I don't want to have strings attached to my heart that are playing me like a violin. God, I want you to be the love of my heart. And I don't want to walk in conflict. I want to be a peacemaker. See, verse 2 says this. It's our inordinate desires. It's the things that we struggle for. The things that we covet. It's that our hearts are attached so often to stuff. And it's just stuff. Listen, I did it on the way to church this morning. Can I have a moment of honesty? Is it all right? I pull out of my neighborhood. Does anybody know what a Polaris slingshot is? It's the coolest little thing. It's the new tricycle motorcycle looking thing. It looks like a Batmobile. And I pull out of my house and the guy pulls out in front of me and I'm following it. And I'm like, man, that is cool. And my eyes are like, man, I'd love to have one of those. Right? And then I see myself bald going down the road and wind going over the dome. And I'm like, that would be awesome. Jennifer sitting on my right, because it's a two-seater. If you haven't seen it, it's really cool. It's got two wheels in the front, one wheel in the back, and two seats. It's really cool. And I found myself on my way to church this morning going, man, I wonder what I could sell to get something like that. And I'm like, I'm going to be preaching on this in like an hour, right? But what happens? It's the childlike syndrome where our eyes see things that our heart doesn't need and our wallets can't afford. But we're looking at it going, I would look so good in that. Even though I'm bald. And our hearts get attached to things. And we start dwelling on it. And that's just simple. But listen, it doesn't have to be huge. The simple things sometimes in our lives are the things that become huge. Our inability to control our desires. And verse 3 says this. It takes it a step further. Because then this is what we do. And oh God, if you could see fit, I would love to have a Polaris slingshot. And God, I've been faithful to you. And God, I've taught Sunday school. And God, I've done. Come on, let's hear it this morning, right? We start laying out all of our accolades to the Lord. And we start telling God we've been faithful to him. And then we start asking for things that, number one, we don't need. Right? We don't need it. I don't need that. And then we start making promises to God and talking about how good we are and how faithful we've been. And it just demonstrates that our hearts are in the wrong place. That we're more worried about ourselves and what we can acquire than we are about where God is taking us and who we can become. Because our hearts are attached to things that we don't need. And then we start asking God for things like, God, give me a new car. There's nothing wrong with the car we're driving. And we say, God, you know what? Hey, how about a new job? Because God, you know my boss, he is a jerk. And there's nothing wrong with the job you have, and it may not be your boss. Right? Maybe your boss cracks down on you sometimes because you're not a good employee. Sometimes that's where the rubber meets the road, right? And we don't want to know that. And our boss is constantly on us. Now, sometimes you may have a boss who just happens to be not a nice person. But have we ever looked inside and went, what am I doing that could be contributing to this? What am I doing that could change this? Should I go talk to my boss? Am I praying for my boss? Or am I just standing in the water cooler going, I can't believe every Monday morning, he's always on me. He gave me the worst truck to drive. Can y'all believe? And we just blah, 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 blah. And we're not doing anything to change the situation. We're just making it worse by entering into the conflict. And then it's God, you know, he's a jerk, but, you know, I really need a new house too, God. I mean, we're rolling in at 100 square feet under roof. And God, we need to bump it up to about 2,500 because my kid's playroom is crazy and I need a man cave. And God, you know, my wife has all those Christmas ornaments and it needs to be heated and cooled. And Lord, we need to expand, God. I need a bigger home. Give me a new job so I can have a bigger home, so I can do this and can do that. We don't need a bigger home. We need to get rid of some junk. Right? But you see how little things roll into big things and we start thinking about it. And it becomes an obsessive thing within our lives. And then we start rolling out with stuff like this. It's one of my favorite. God, if you could just help me win the lottery. It's one of my favorites because it just never gets old. Because we hear it so much. God, if you just give me those winning numbers, I promise you, God, I'll build 27 churches in Tanzania next month. And here's what's hilarious about that. You're not being faithful with the money God's giving you right now. So what makes God think you're going to take the money that he gives you from that and going to go be faithful with it? See? God already knows. Because listen, we do with what we have. With what we believe in. We're already giving to what we believe in. We're already working for what we believe in. We're already doing those things. But yet we make these crazy claims to God. And think that he might believe it. And he's like, okay. Never heard that one before, right? And what God is saying is this. Why don't you just give me your heart. And let me deal with everything else. Why don't you just give me you and your heart and let me deal with everything else that's coming down the pipe? I'll take care of you. I'll make sure every need you have is met. For the righteous have never been forsaken or their seed found begging bread. I'll take care of you. Listen to what Robert Jones writes in the book Pursuing Peace. He's talking about our conflict, how it comes from wrong desires and impure motives. He says, failure to please God, our failure or the other person's or both, us or them, is the ultimate cause of all relational conflict. Bank on it. Whenever there is conflict, one or both parties are not pleasing God. Man, listen to that statement this morning. That when there's conflict, that one or both parties are not pleasing God. That conflict goes back to not pleasing God. And James 4 makes it simple. Our heart issue is the reason for conflict. And the truth is this, that knowing the Word of God and knowing His truth helps us to focus on what really matters. And it helps us to let go of conflict and live a life that pleases God. Let's live a life that pleases God. So here's the next part of James 4. He's talking about conflict with God Himself in verse 4. And he says this, it helps us to see that the line between the conflict with God and man, it's a blurry line. Because the whole world is in conflict with God. Why is the world in conflict with God? It goes back to the broken world system, the fallen man, and that we are trying to accomplish things that are not God's plan for us. And God says this, anyone who is in love with the world is an enemy of God. If you're in love with this world, that you're an enemy of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the things of this earth. God put us here to worship Him, to know Him, and to make it known. But along the way, we get to enjoy some beautiful things. But when we enjoy the pleasures of this life, the sin of this life, that is not what God has called us to do. He's called us to trade those things in for a heart that loves Him. To let go of the conflict. Listen to me, church. God is opposed to sin. The scripture tells us God cannot be in the presence of sin. That's why He sent Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. So here's what it means. You can't live as a believer who pleases God the same way you lived before you were a believer. That's what it means. You're called to change. You can't keep going to the same places. You can't frequent the club every Friday and Saturday night and then bounce into church and then wonder why you're not hearing from God. You can't do the same old things. You got to let go of some of the things that God has called you to let go of. And I'm not even going to get into all the other things and the addictions and the things. Listen, if you're addicted to anything, whether it's drugs or mayonnaise, you're not pleasing God. Why didn't I get an amen on that, right? Where are my mayonnaise lovers at, right? Right? If you're addicted to ranch dressing that you pour it on everything and you're having issues from it, listen, that's no different than if you're out smoking a doobie every afternoon. It's the same thing, folks. That's what the Bible says. If you're a glutton, if you eat too much on a regular basis, you're no different than an adulterer. Now, I know in this world we live, okay, hang on, Ivan, now hang on. You know, that's not the same. You better get back into the book. Because in God's eyes, it's the same. If we're not taking care of the temple, it's the same. It's the same thing. And listen, I'm not here to harp this morning. I don't want you to get that this morning. Here's what I want you to know. The great thing about knowing God is that He'll change us. The great thing about knowing God is He'll set us free from all these things that keep us from being like Him. And that we don't have to live in conflict. But we're in conflict because a lot of times it's just based on the things that we do. That's what it's about. Listen, God calls it this. When we make friendship with the world, He calls it adultery. That we're trading our first love for the pleasures of this life. And God's called us to love Him more than we love life itself. Because of all that He is, not just the things that He's done. He's worthy this morning. God is jealous for our affections. And the same disordered affections that cause us to have conflict with our peers or our husbands and our wives also cause us to have conflict with God when we're giving our energy and our time to things that are not healthy for us. And that could be all kinds of things. Listen, I ask you this morning to make a prayer to say, God, help me to let go of anything that takes away my relationship with you. That God, if I'm in the woods too much, or I'm on the golf course too much, or I'm rolling through the aisles at Dillard's too much, God, whatever it is, if I'm spending time doing things that's a waste, show it to me, God, so that I can align my life with you. Because I want to love you more than anything else. Scripture is clear this morning, church. The world's friend is an enemy with God. I got to move fast. I'm going to wrap it up. Conflict resolution. We talk a lot about this in schools. Peer mediation. Sit down. Let's talk through this. Use your words, buddy. Right? Let's talk through this. Conflict resolution. First of all, you have to want the conflict to end. That's the first step. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do I want this to end, or do I need this to function? Do I want this to end, or do I need this to function? And the first answer should be yes. And unfortunately, too often, the second question, the answer is yes. God wants to set us free from things so we can function the way that He has called us to function. Listen, church, it all begins with grace. I'm going to work down through this passage this morning. Submit yourselves to God. This is verse 7. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Come near to me. Come near to God. He'll draw near to you. Other versions say this. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Others say, come near to God and He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You want to let go of conflict? Submit yourself to God. Say, God, I bring everything I am to you. I submit to you, God, and let it go. Pray it every day. The next thing is, resist the devil. Resist him. Man, when temptations come up, say, nope. No, thank you, devil. And some of you need to get a little bit more excited and a little bit more flavor in your spiritual life. And you may need to look at some things like, get behind me, Satan. It was an example that Christ himself gave. Everybody remember that? And sometimes we might need to do it a little bit more like, get off of me, devil, now. Right? When we're moving through things that we know that are a problem from us, you might even say, just get back, Jack. I'm not going down that road today. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go with Him today. And we need to get a little bit more animated and a little bit more belief in the things that God has called us to do. Resist the devil, and what's the scripture say? He'll flee from you. If you resist him, he'll flee. But see, the problem is, this isn't resisting. I just want to hold you for a minute, sin. This feels good. Right? Or some of us are just like this. Whew, the water's fine. And others are just kind of like this. Thinking that no one knows, thinking that no one sees. Now listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you this morning and tell you that sin's not fun. That's a lie. Enticement is fun. Sin is fun. But the wages of sin is death. It leads to destruction. It tears our families apart, our homes apart. It makes us where we can't work. And God is saying, you don't need that. God's like, you want to feel something that feels good? Come here. Come wrap your arms around the big fella. That's me. The creator of all this for you. Come here and let me hold you. And you want to feel peace and warmth and love and hope. Embrace God. Reach to Him as He reaches you. Embrace God. Resist the devil. No thanks. I didn't bend down that road with you. Take a hike. And you may even have to speak that. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the words of our mouths are powerful. We have to speak it. Get behind me, Satan. With the authority that you've been given in Jesus' name. To let go of some of these things that bind us up. Here's where it gets tough this morning, church. You can only do these things when you humble yourself before God. And listen, we can either do it on our own, or we could get humbled by the actions of this life. We can either take some humility and say, God, I'm nothing without you. God, I can't survive without you. And find a place of humility and brokenness and submit to God. Or we can let the actions of life do it for us. Because the scripture says this, that God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. Because the proud think this, look at me. Look what I've done. I am so smart. I am so beautiful. I am so amazing. I wish other people could see that I'm so amazing. Right? Ever met anybody like that? I've never done anything wrong. That's why I'm the manager at McDonald's, because all these people are beneath me. And I don't flip burgers anymore because I'm too good for that. And I'm on my way to the top. Or whatever job we find ourselves in, we think people are beneath us. We're smarter than them. We know more than them. And God's saying this. He opposes the proud. Listen to what grace-drenched humility means. Grace-drenched humility. Recognizing it's only in God's grace that you can function. We submit to God. We resist the devil. We seek purity. And that's a word we don't like to talk about anymore. Purity. To be holy and blameless and pure in God's sight. It directs our motions. It leads to exaltation. Recognizing that God is above everything else. And then there's nothing we can do to change that or get him to love us anymore. He's pouring his grace out. He's pouring his mercy out. And that we just have to give him our hearts. It's the path to resolving conflict. It's the path to getting closer to God. It's the path to putting the enemy behind us when we are humble before the Lord. It helps us to confess our shortcomings. It helps us to look him in the face and ask God to change us. Listen to James 4 this morning, verses 13 through 17, and I'm done right here. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we can go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say this, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does it do it, it is a sin for them. What are you doing with your mist? You want to see how your life is to God? Just get a spray bottle when you get home and squirt it into the air and watch the mist. Man, it comes out in force. It spreads out very quickly. You can see it. It's thick. You can even reach into it. In just a moment as it begins to drop, it evaporates and it's gone. It's just a mist. We're here for a moment on this earth to do a work that God has called us to do. What are you doing this little while? Are you following after your own plans and purpose? Are you creating conflict everywhere you go? Or are you following the plans and purposes of God? Fulfilling his plan and his will. Because the scripture just said this. If you know the good that you should do, but you don't do it, that's sin. That's sin. And we talk a lot about this around here. Does your obedience match your knowledge? Does the knowledge that you retain of God and his word, does it match your obedience? Are you out there working with the knowledge that you have? Because this is telling us this morning, and you have no excuses, because now you've been told that if you know the good that you should do and you're not doing it, it is sin. If you're not going to your workplace and making a difference right where you are, if you're not going into your homes and your neighborhoods and spreading the light and love of Jesus Christ, it's sin. Because you know the good and you're not doing it. If you're undermining others, if you're gossiping and slandering and lying, you're not doing good that God's called you to do. He's called us to be peacemakers and to end conflict. So here's our challenge for the week. Go home and read chapter 4. Read James chapter 4 and say, God, how do I submit to you? God, the things that I'm asking for, am I asking for the right reasons? Am I asking with pure motives and a pure heart? Or God, am I just acquiring? Am I acquiring? Because see, God didn't just give us for us to have. He gives so that we can give away. Am I a person of peace? Does peace follow me everywhere I go? Do people see love and peace and grace and mercy? Am I extending to others what you have extended to me? Listen, God's going to give you opportunities this week to be that peace, to end that conflict, to reach to that person that you know you have supposed to reach to for some time now, to ask for forgiveness, to move forward, to end that conflict, and to be a peacemaker. And you can only do it when you submit to God in humility. Listen, I pray this week, before this week's over, that God would reveal himself to you and give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be the description of James chapter 4. To make a difference this week in the kingdom of God. Let's pray together this morning.